Okay, thank you very much, and thanks to the conference organisers for inviting us to speak here this year. It's nice to be back in my hometown. The mission that we have at Antares is to develop and commercialise self-administered parenteral medications, importantly that optimise clinical benefits and with enhanced cost-effective healthcare outcomes. And the name of the game here really for us is to make sure that we can make injection as easy for patients to do at home as it is to take a tablet. And in cases where you can add a therapeutic benefit in terms of the performance of the drug, that's what we do. Here's a safe harbor statement for anyone who wishes to read it. Moving on. So the background of the company is that we're a fast-growing company. We're based just south of Princeton in New Jersey, U.S. We're becoming a specialty pharma company with a diverse and late-stage, actually, 505B2 pipeline of drug-device combination products. And we've been able to, over the past 5 years, develop significant and now proven clinical and regulatory expertise in proprietary drug-device combination products. And this does require a fair degree of know-how in terms of navigating the clinical requirements and then the regulatory requirements. And we actually just achieved our first product approval of our own, the Atrexup product for rheumatoid arthritis, which is a novel auto-injector containing methotrexate on October the 11th of this year, and I'll talk about that later. Antares was actually one of the originators in the space of self-injection technology going back to the late 80s, and as a result of which we've actually got a lot of intellectual property which we're now actually leveraging in terms of manufacturing products. We actually have, just in the last 18 months, filed 43 new patents. We've had 10 granted, and we cover all of the sort of uses of auto-injectors with molecules that can be self-injected subcutaneously. We've also got a lot of partnership experience now. In the past few years, we've put a number of good agreements together with leading organizations that include people like Pfizer. We just announced a deal with Leo Pharmaceutical last week, who are going to take our Atrexup product into the dermatology market in the US. And we also have partnerships with Actavis, Ferring, and Meda. And our biggest partnership in terms of number of products is with Teva Pharmaceuticals, where we have 5 products working with them, one of which is already marketed, which is a needle-free version of human growth hormone. And we have 2 in the auto-injector platform and 2 in a pen injector platform. Which leads me to the sort of recent events of the company. This is a company that is built on good planning, basically, and ruthless execution of what we do. The Atrexup NDA was approved on October the 11th of this year for the treatment of rheumatoid arthritis. There's a typo there on the date. And psoriasis and polyarticular juvenile RA. The approval, the NDA approval took place actually almost 36 months to the day following an IND meeting we'd had with the agency. So from IND to approval in 3 years is good productivity. And we anticipate seeing the same level of productivity coming out of the other pipeline programs we're working on. We just entered an exclusive U.S. promotion and marketing agreement with Leo Pharma for psoriasis, and I'll talk about that in a few minutes. We've currently got, in fact, we finished the enrollment on this now, on the QST, which is a subcutaneous testosterone shot, which I'll talk about in a few minutes, for once-weekly injection. We've had very good interaction with the agency on this, and we're working hard to make sure we can get that to market. We anticipate sometime in 2016. We actually had a rollout meeting for our Atrexup product at the American College of Rheumatology in San Diego in October, and I've got to say that the reception we had there with rheumatologists was phenomenal, and we're getting a lot of support from that community. And we've also been able to continue to expand our patent base. In fact, last week our Atrexup product got listed in the Orange Book with, I believe, 7 patents to cover it. So we've actually been able to get broad IP coverage around all of our products. We've also been expanding the management team to make sure we've got a team that's equipped to take this company forward. We appointed Bruce Freundlich as Senior VP of Medical this month. Bruce was actually a professor at the University of Pennsylvania. He's also an ex-Pfizer and Wyeth executive, highly experienced rheumatologist, and is very excited about the prospect of joining a company and helping us with the commercialization of Atrexup. We just this week announced a new head of pharmaceutical development, David Bergstrom, who has a lot of big pharma experience, as well as a lot of experience on 505(b)(2) programs. And more recently on the board, we added Bob Roche prior to becoming a consultant and a professional board member. Bob was actually head of commercial for Cephalon, so he brings a lot of expertise in helping us to get products out to the market. The platform that we have actually, we have a very unique technical platform, and I think that the thing that the company did a few years ago, which was to start focusing on developing combination products using that platform, was absolutely the right idea, because there was a gap in the market for this type of approach. We have three technology platforms. We have the needle-free technology, which is already marketed. We have the MediJet or Vibex platform, which is the platform behind the Atrexup product, which is an auto-injector, and I've actually got one in my pocket here that you can all see. And we also have multi-dose pens, which are typical of the type of product that a patient with diabetes would carry around and use on a daily basis. What we then do is identify drugs where there's a deficiency in the clinical performance, which can be enhanced by using an injector platform to self-administer at home. Importantly, it's really only safe to give subcutaneous injections at home. You're not really supposed to do intramuscular injections. If you hit a blood vessel, it can lead to problems, particularly with things like oily vehicles. And then once we've identified that clinical advantage, we then put it into our 505(b)(2) pipeline. And we're actually trying to build a 505(b)(2) machine at the company. This is how we work from a business perspective. Identifying that unmet patient need is critically important to us. And then combining the technology with known molecules. And then we have a combination of the device platform, a novel route of administration, which is subcutaneous, and we enhance the therapeutic value of the product. And then what we are doing as a company is focusing on specialty target audiences like rheumatologists or like urologists, where we can comfortably afford to invest in the sales and marketing infrastructure necessary to be successful. Now, when we were going through this initially a few years ago, we started off by putting a screening process in place. We looked at over 200 molecules. There are a lot of injectable products out there today which could be improved by putting them into a platform such as the ones we have. We identified about 60 feasible candidates for development, looking at both the clinical patient benefits as well as the market opportunity, because I think a lot of companies in our space in the past have tended to come up with a really good technology idea and then find they can't sell it. We would rather look at it the other way around, find a market need and then develop a product to suit that market need. And we have a very strong marketing component to our management team over in the US. We came up with about 30 interesting molecules, of which right now we have Atrexup, which is just about to be commercialized. The QST program, which is just finishing a phase 2 trial right now, will be going to phase 3 next year. And we have the QSM, which is a CNS program which we're developing. And we've also identified numerous other additional drug opportunities which we continue to evaluate and which we will add to the pipeline at some point in the future. When we look at our product pipeline for a company that right now we're just south of 60 people in terms of numbers, we'll be going up to north of 100 that we'll be responsible for once we've started to sell Atrexup. But we actually have three marketed products out there already. These are all products that are commercialized with partners where we work for a royalty. Those are Tevtropin, where in Europe we have Ferring as partner. Teva is the partner in the US. The product's also sold in Japan by JCR. We have Meda over here in the US, which sells Alestrin. And Actavis sells the Jelneke product in the US as well. And the Atrexup product, which is the first from our own pipeline, is actually going to market in January. So we're building the sales infrastructure right now for that. You can see we have other pipeline programs there. The partnership with Teva continues to go real well. We have a sNDA. We're waiting for approval on that for Tevtropin 10 milligrams. The generic version of the EpiPen, the Vibex Epi, will go to market, we expect, in 2015 in June. Subject to approval. And then we have Sumatriptan auto-injector as well, which is also subject to an ANDA approval. We have two PEM programs, both of which are actually moving forward quite rapidly here. These are global programs with Teva, and they're both making good progress. One of them is an NDA 505(b)(2) type of biological molecule that is being basically clinical trialed over here in Europe. I would anticipate that the product will go to the market here in Europe ahead of the US. And then we have other programs, Nestrogel, which is a phase two program with the Population Council, and the famous Pfizer OTC gel product, subject to much speculation, but that program actually we're anticipating going to the market in sometime in 2016. Let's talk about methotrexate and Otrexup. And in the US, we're the first company to obtain a subcutaneous approval for the use of methotrexate injection in patients with rheumatoid arthritis, psoriasis, and JRA. Over here in Europe, there's been quite a lot of experience with methotrexate being used subcutaneously for RA, and we were the first company to come out of the agency with an approved product over in the US. The opportunity is that methotrexate is given once weekly. We're doing doses in the 10 to 25 milligram range. Oral methotrexate is not well absorbed once you sort of get to doses of about 15 milligrams and above. It uses an active carrier transport system that gets saturated. You can bypass this by giving a subcutaneous injection. So our device actually gives an injection in less than half a second. The patient instruction leaflet tells you to push down on the device, hold it in place for 3 seconds, and then release, and you've given yourself a shot of methotrexate. It is designed to be used once a week, and we actually trialed it in rheumatoid arthritis patients with moderate to severe hand impairment, and they were able to use the device very effectively. It's safe, it avoids any dosing errors, and inadvertent exposure to a cytotoxic agent with methotrexate is. And it addresses, we believe, a large and growing RA and psoriasis market in the USA. We also believe that extending the use of methotrexate to the sort of 15 to 25 milligram range more effectively will actually lead to, ultimately, a reduction in the overall cost of the RA treatment continuum. The market in the US is just outlined here. There is probably about 2.5 million cases of rheumatoid arthritis in the US, of which about 60% are treated with drugs. About 1.5 million of these suffer from moderate to severe RA, and it's growing as the population ages. It will continue to grow. And methotrexate is actually the foundation of rheumatoid arthritis treatment. It's used both alone. It's used in combination with other DMARDs, and it's used also in combination with biologic agents such as Humira and Enbrel. And in actual fact, it can extend the useful life of those biological agents as well by minimizing the development of antibody against those biological treatments. And often biologics are added subsequently to methotrexate treatment, which is a practice which actually is validated by the guidelines from the ACR. There's a lot of European head-to-head literature looking at the role of methotrexate as a first-line DMARD in the treatment of RA. It's also used in the treatment of related disorders or immune disorders like psoriasis, and we actually have an agreement now with Leo Pharma for severe psoriasis, and they're going to be actually taking the product out to the dermatology market around the same time as we launch Otrexup to the rheumatology market. We formed a partnership with them. Both companies will be working together side by side. And Leo is a global leader in dermatology, and it focuses specifically on topical treatments for psoriasis. And the label we received from the agency was helpful for Leo in terms of selling methotrexate into this marketplace. And apart from the milestone payments which we received from Leo, I think the more important piece, which most people will miss, is that the back end of this agreement is extremely favorable for Antares. We also recall all dermatology-related product revenues. And Leo will be supporting this product with a sales force of 75 reps in the US, which is the critical mass required for reaching dermatologists. They've also got a lot of proven capabilities within the life cycle management of products, focusing on innovative patient solutions. And we're delighted to be working with them on this product. I think the important thing about the Leo agreement, from my perspective, is that when you take a look at a program like Otrexup for rheumatoid arthritis, having a company actually wanting to work on the same product in a disorder that's related but in a different marketplace gives me great comfort that the market opportunity we're working on is a very real market opportunity. So now we're sitting on a validated technology platform from the FDA, an approved product from the FDA, and now what I believe is a validated market opportunity as a result of us being able to work with Leo in dermatology. The juvenile arthritis indication is also one that we received from the agency as well. It's all forms of arthritis cause joint inflammation and stiffness for more than 6 weeks in children under 16. It's actually a niche segment for us in terms of the RA market, but about 80% of prescriptions in this area are written by the same physicians as for adult RA. And what's nice about our device is it's very patient friendly, and I think this is the type of device that can be very useful in a pediatric market. Certainly from our experience with HGH, which is almost exclusively a pediatric market with our product, I think that this type of approach is ideal for children. So the launch plan is all coming together. We've got a strategic marketing group in-house. The commercial team has broad rheumatology expertise. The head of the sales and marketing group, LaRue, actually launched Enbrel in a past life. Other members of the team have got experience with Enbrel as a product, with Orencia as a product, and with Cimzia as a product. So we have a lot of TNF-alpha expertise within the company. We've already appointed the district managers, the sales reps, and the national account managers to the company, who have a lot of experience, again, in marketing RA drugs. And we will be using Quintiles people to sell the Trex up initially. And they'll be completely dedicated just to this product. They actually are basically Antares employees just working on Atrexa. We've also been very active with the managed care groups over in the US. We've announced our price, which is $548 for a pack of four, which is basically enough for 4 weeks or a month almost of the treatment. And this pricing strategy has been talked about with numerous managed care organizations over in the US. Our head of managed care, Charles Snyder, also has a lot of background in this specialty with managed care organizations. He also worked for Wyeth. And we believe that initially, not surprisingly for anyone who's from the US here, we'll end up with tier 3 access, although several plans are starting to talk about a possibility of tier 2 access in the US. And Leo are launching it with us almost concurrently, which means that we'll have sales personnel out there in the marketplace of over 100. Let's just go back to the pipeline. But I think that the Trexup is the first fruit to fall from the tree from this pipeline. And I'm really excited about this market opportunity. It's something we've been building for. We've been very disciplined in executing this plan, and now it's all coming together. And I believe that next year we'll be able to see a nice appreciation in our revenue base as a result of the Atrexup product coming through. Testosterone is the next product we identified from this this pipeline plan that we had. It's the first auto-injector for the treatment of low testosterone. In the US, it's a fast-growing market, and it's a single-shot device that's designed to deliver a high viscosity drug, and in actual fact, testosterone is formulated in an oil. It uses this QST device here, which will deliver a high viscosity product through a 27 gauge needle, and it can deliver volumes up to 1 mL in the format we're using here. It takes less than 5 seconds to inject in a 27 gauge needle, which is quite impressive actually when you look at the overall product. The reason is that the technology we use relies on spring technology that uses a very strong spring, but part of the technology is to make sure that you retain the integrity of the primary packaging container when you actually release the force into that. The once weekly injection, we believe, will lead to optimized blood levels of testosterone with a smaller peak trough ratio than you see with the current intramuscular shots that are given, which represent about 35% of the prescriptions in the US today, and more similar to the gel blood level profile. And what we find is from the market research we've done is that the gels, they have a black box warning number one on them over in the US because of the patient transference issue, which is becoming a significant issue for people to deal with. And there is actually growth in the injectable market, and I think we're going to be able to leverage our platform to make sure that we can deliver a product that patients are going to be able to use safely, effectively at home, a once-week dosing regimen which involves a minimum of fuss and just a 4 or 5 second injection is something that is very attractive to male patients as a result of the market research we've done. We're expected to launch this product in 2016. There has been an explosive growth in the use of testosterone in the US. There are, right now it's probably about a $2.5 billion market. It's going to probably grow to somewhere between $4 or $5 billion by 2017, if you believe the data that's out there today. The injectable testosterone market represents about 30 to 35% of the number of prescriptions, and we are actually going to be paying in both segments, I think, because I believe our product will give comparable or similar blood levels to those we would see in the gel, which is anywhere between 3 and 1100 nanograms per deciliter. But the gels actually have, you know, 90% of the dose from a gel is wasted. It just sits on the skin surface and then gets washed off. And I actually did a PhD in transdermal drug delivery, so I do believe that's a true statistic. And the opportunity here was to deliver 100% of the drug right through the skin, just to the subcutaneous layer, where it can be slowly absorbed over a period of about a week. The testosterone ester we're using has a half-life of 7 or 8 days. So the timing of the injection dose with the half-life is absolutely perfect to get to steady state. We actually believe that we have a good opportunity here that could be bigger on a revenue basis to us than the Atrexa product, which is not insignificant in itself. The physicians that we've surveyed believe that once weekly self-injection will actually improve patient compliance with this, and you'll avoid all of the peaks and troughs you see with the intramuscular injections, and you won't have the transference issues which you see with gels. We had a pre-IND meeting with the agency just about 11 months ago, and we've agreed on the clinical path forward. We're working on a phase 2 trial out now. We've completed the dosing on that one. We anticipate sort of having a quick sort of look at the data in December, and we'll be announcing the fully audited data in January or February of 2014. But I'm reasonably confident, based on what I've seen, that the blood level data we're going to get will be just right in there. Financial overview. We're a company which, as of September 30th, 2013, had cash and investments of $70 million. We've just added to that pile with the money we just received from Leo. Actually came in yesterday. The revenue base of the company has grown quite nicely since this management team took over in 2008. We're anticipating revenue growth again in 2013. And I think all of these revenues are coming in right now from a combination of product sales and royalties that we receive from companies like Teva, Ferring and the like. And next year our revenue base is going to shift towards product sales of Atrexup. And this is really the transformational event for us as a company, and one we've been building towards in the past few years. Anyone who's familiar with the drug delivery model will know that working for royalties only takes you so far. Eventually you have to take that leap of faith and believe in your own technology and your marketing to be able to produce a product that you can sell yourself. What we tried to do, though, was to make sure that we learned our lessons and focused on specialty markets, which were ones that a company the size of Antares could attack and be successful in. The goal for the next 12 to 18 months, the partnership for Atrexa we just completed, so I'm going to tick that one off the list, as it was a goal we had set ourselves for, in fact, the last quarter of this year, which we did achieve. We also will be launching the Atrexa product in Q1 of 2014. We've already manufactured all of the supplies we need to satisfy what we believe will be the market demand in 2014 and beyond. We have the testosterone product completing its clinical studies in phase 2 and then going on to the phase 3 studies, and I'm anticipating we should be able to finish those off sometime around the middle of 2015. The QSM, which is our CNS program, this is an interesting drug actually, which it's the same idea, going to a subcutaneous shot to improve the availability basically of the product to patients and also make it more accessible for them to use at home. We're going to have both of the multi-dose pen products filed, we believe, with Teva within this time frame, and we'll see the approval and launch of the 10-milligram teftrophin product. So I think, in a nutshell, what we have here is an interesting company with a late-stage pipeline. It's very diverse. We're not a company that's dependent on a binary event by any means, like a typical biotech. We are a company that is a real revenue base. We're just about to grow the revenue base. We've put all the right people into place here, and this company is all about people. If you get the right people in place, you always succeed, and I think we've got the right group in, place at Antares to make sure that we are going to be successful with the Trexup launch and beyond. And if there's any questions now, I'll be happy to take them, and thanks very much for your time. Yes, sir.
You mentioned an OTC gel with Pfizer.
Yes.
Any goals for that next year?
Well, the program is being developed by Pfizer. I would anticipate that in 2015 they'll be filing the NDA, and they're looking for a launch sometime in 2016. It's the current timeline. Yes, sir.
Any thoughts on the oral denbutoxin market and how that will impact?
Yeah, actually, we've been looking at that. Thanks, Ian. That's a good question. We've been looking at the oral testosterone market. There are a number of drugs in development in the U.S., one of which is a version of clomiphene, single isomer. I don't think that's really going to be competitive with the product we're developing. The oral testosterone, from the data I've seen, the variability of absorption is extremely high, and I think that's going to provide some difficulty for the oral testosterone products. What we're able to do with our product is give the precise dose actually at the right timing in terms of the half-life as well, and it's so discreet and easy to give, and I've used this device myself, and I can tell you that you really don't feel a thing, I think that the product we're having sort of in development right now is going to be the ideal product for the marketplace in the future. Good question.
Yes,
outside of the U.S., we are looking for partners for our programs outside of the U.S. Currently, our focus is very much on making sure the launch of Atrexup goes extremely smoothly. We haven't really focused on developing partnerships outside of our own territory recently, but that's something that will come. Most of the work we do on the NDA in the U.S., for example, can already be filed in South America, Australia, and other markets in the Far East. In Europe, I'm not quite sure what the requirements are, but I believe from discussions we've had with the German authorities that the type of program we're developing for methotrexate and testosterone is almost directly fileable over here in the European marketplace. Yes? Nestrogel, yeah, that's a product that is really it's a venture we have with the Population Council. They're responsible for all of the clinical work on it. Currently, we're not assigning much priority to that program, as our focus is on the Trexup and the injectable business. I think it's an exciting opportunity, though, because if you look at the contraceptive market today, the convenience of being able to give a once daily, and it's only a pea-sized gel ball that you use, it's very easy for a woman to use. I think the key thing there is to find a good partner to be able to develop that with, and Population Council are working on that right now.
How many sales reps did you say the Antares Quintiles?
We have to reach every rheumatologist in the country that we want to reach, we need 25 reps. So we have 25 reps in-house. We've got six MSLs that will be working with them as well in the field. They'll also be working in the psoriasis area too with the 75 reps that Leo are bringing to the table.
So this is a dedicated team calling on RAs?
Yes.
Yeah. Is it unthinkable that Antares could be a good partner for a biosimilar, any TNF biosimilar?
I think the Antares sales force in rheumatology would be an ideal partner for a biosimilar going forward. And it's going to be...
A lot of foreign companies looking for that kind of... Not big generics, but
yes.
Dedicated team.
Yeah, it's actually quite interesting because I came from the selling products to the industry background a while back, and you know when you're in a technology company selling products to companies with sales forces, it's actually interesting when you take a view from the other side. Now we have a sales force, and we have had probably since August numerous companies approaching us about trying to do deals for us to in-license in their products, and I do expect that as we grow as a company that acquiring the rights to products which we can cross-sell with our sales force will become more a part of our business activity. Looks like the questions are over. I'll be here for a few minutes afterwards if anyone's interested in chatting, and thank you very much again for the attention. Cheers.